Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Out of the box, it's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century, from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter-producer for Decider.com. This week, I am joined by returning guest, Katie Healy-Warnsberg. Hello, Katie!
Hello!
Yay!
Hi!
I apologize to my fans, that sounds so weird, for not doing a special intro for this, because I've been doing, for Halloween, I did 4 spooky intros.
Oh.
Where I was, a monster, and I had, sound effects.
Yeah.
And I was like, what would you do for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Thanksgiving. You do a Thanksgiving song.
I did a Thanksgiving parade.
Yep.
First week. Last week, I did a Bob Newhart bit, because we talked about the Bob Newhart show.
Oh, okay.
Which is not Thanksgiving, but it was still, a heightened bit. And this one, I was, racking my brain of, I could do it like a recipe.
Oh, yeah.
Or I could do it my mouth is full and I'm talking. And it's you know what? Let's just.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the problems with Thanksgiving as a holiday is that it doesn't have those things. You know what I mean?
Anything?
It doesn't have those cultural things aside from the meal. Meal is the one thing. And I guess and you kind of have traveling a lot. But other than that, that's
traveling and eating. Yeah, so
this
is the third of 3 Thanksgiving Holiday Gauntlet episodes.
Holiday Gauntlet?
Yeah, because we're having 3 back-to-back months of holiday episodes.
Oh, okay.
I did 4 Halloween, 3 Thanksgiving.
That makes sense.
And then and then a break, which is next week.
Okay.
And then 4 Christmas.
That makes sense.
So,
yeah.
3 whole months of holiday episodes.
That's the other problem with the end of the year.
It's just nothing but.
As we have it, is that it's just I think Halloween, too, is I think for maybe most of the country, Halloween is whatever. It's one night.
Yeah.
And then maybe parents have to make a costume or costumes for their kids. But in New York, it really is
it's a month
up
long.
To 2 weeks of straight going out and doing.
Yeah, because I had my Halloween party the week, a good 10 or so days before Halloween.
At least, which meant I had to have my costume ready then.
Because I was Saturday, Halloween was a Tuesday. I was the Saturday before, people are going to be doing things, so I should have my party the Saturday before.
Yeah, which then meant Halloween was 3 weeks long.
Yeah.
Instead of 2 weeks long.
So what is your history with Thanksgiving? I've gone through my history in the previous 2 episodes where it's it's fine. It's not an essential holiday.
I like Thanksgiving. I think culturally it's really too bad that our one holiday that celebrates Thanksgiving, giving thanks and family in that way also is almost explicitly a celebration of genocide.
Hey!
Yeah. And it really sucks. It's the one time, culturally as Americans, we're hey, guys, let's say thank you for this. And it's subtext of that is we stole it all.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And it's that's the one
which is
that could be good.
We've gotten, made sure to bring this up because I think it's important to, you got to talk about all of it. And I think that, if we as a culture stop perpetuating the myth of, the first Thanksgiving where the Indians were we're totally cool with this. Come on in. If we stop doing that, let's make Thanksgiving about giving thanks and being with friends and family.
But also acknowledging.
And let's also, make sure that we don't.
I think it should be.
Redo history.
Yeah. I honestly think, it's the time. Because we just celebrate it without kind of, acknowledging the past, what it, explicitly kind of erases, that's even worse, almost. So I think, I try to, I donate it specifically in November, but I try to do it like other times as well, to the Native American, I forget the name of the fund, but I like donate like specifically for Thanksgiving, which I think they are like, yeah, do that.
That's
like,
yeah.
Assholes.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And we're like, sorry.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, I only like 3 Thanksgiving foods. So like, I like turkey and gravy and stuffing, and then that's it. But then I also, I don't like turkey and stuffing if there isn't gravy. So several times growing up, my dad would just forget to make gravy and you just throw away the drippings, which is like also insane. Like, you can't have even if you're not me, like you, that's not, what are you fucking? And he always then would be like where's the gravy? He's like, we don't need gravy. And then he would act, one time he just acted like gravy wasn't a thing and no one would have gravy. And
why,
like,
would you ever?
Yeah, it's like, that's not a thing. I'm like, it's the main thing.
It's
the thing. What are you talking about?
I don't like gravy, but I also understand, like, turkey's good. Turkey's also, like, the dry... It can be... the driest shit you ever eat.
Only dark meat, personally. Sorry, vegetarians and vegans. The other podcast I do a lot of the times is, like, most of the listeners are vegan. yeah. So I have to be very careful. I try not to be an asshole.
I don't know what our... I would actually love to know what the demos are for this one, because right now it's like, please tell me. Please interact with me in any way.
Brett
is where I'm at.
Brett likes to be interacted with.
Please.
He does.
I love stuffing.
Yeah, I just like traditional stuffing. I don't want fucking weird ass fruits in there.
Oh, no. Ew.
Like,
God,
nuts.
No.
I don't want that.
Did you ever have stuffing that was... In little muffin shapes?
I think that's, like, a thing. My dad would always, like, do most of, like, cook one batch of it inside the bird, and then the other one we just have it in, like, a casserole dish.
Because then we would cook it in, like, a crock pot, and it would be in, like, a little muffin.
Oh, interesting.
Or maybe it might have been transported in the crock pot. Because I know that, I remember, like, as a kid, you would pick up this little, like, biscuit-sized thing of stuffing that I think was made in, like, a muffin tin or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was good.
My mom makes bubble oat for the rolls, which is, like, just bread dough, like, torn into, like, round things and then placed in, like, a pie dish. So it's, like, all, like, stuffed next to each other. And then it's covered... And she covers it in, like, butter and Parmesan cheese and, like, herbs and stuff.
Yes.
So, and then it's baked like that. So it's, like, all the herbs on the top and it's nice and buttery at the bottom and you tear it apart. So that was the... I like bubble loaf is really good, too, but that's, like... So if there's a roll, I'm going to eat the roll.
Yeah, the rolls are great.
Yeah, rolls are great.
Where does it...
I don't like potatoes.
Where does
like
it rank? Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. What order?
Probably... I mean... Yeah, I guess Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas... But starting from the bottom.
Christmas 1?
Yeah, Christmas would be 1.
Yeah. Halloween 2.
And then Halloween 2.
Yeah,
then,
that's mine.
Yeah.
That's my order.
Yeah.
So therefore,
I mean,
it's the correct order.
Like, I mean, obviously. I like Thanksgiving. I think it's nicer now that I have a better relationship with my family. And, like, I can go back home and it's not the worst thing in the world.
That's the thing with Thanksgiving is that it is so tied with that.
Yeah,
although
it really is.
Astute listeners will have noticed that the 3 episodes I chose for the Thanksgiving are all found friend families.
Yeah, I think... And it's one of those things where, like, I will say... There was some 1 year my parents were, like, just didn't even invite me home. Like, my sister's... future in-laws. It was like the year they were engaged before they got married, and so they came out from like the West Coast and stayed at my parents' house, which was already like, oh god, why, oh no, just because their house is always like a disaster, and I'm like embarrassed.
Yeah,
having never met these people for them, but apparently my mom did a really good job. Great, that's what my dad said. So yeah, I don't know. So I just, like, that was one of the years I was in New York. Many years I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And so I came to your house, and we did a Friendsgiving. Our other friends used to do Sneaksgiving, which was so much fun.
Which was the Sunday before?
The Sunday before Thanksgiving. And we did all the Thanksgiving foods, and then it was, like, we watched Christmas movies all day.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really fun.
Oh.
So I do miss Sneaksgiving.
But
yeah.
Yeah, this week.
Mm.
we are going to be traveling to November 20th, 1997. The Jackal ruled the box office.
Oh, that movie scared me so much.
It's a Bruce Willis movie?
Isn't it?
No, it's Gary Oldman?
He might be in it, but it's Val Kilmer is one of them. I think it's Bruce Willis and Val Kilmer.
Okay.
I know it's Val Kilmer. There's a thing in it where, like, they have, like, sprayable nerve gas. So out of, like, a spray can, so then you touch it and you die. And it was, like, specifically the guy sprayed it underneath, like, a door handle, like, a trunk handle
terrifying.
Car. And I literally avoided touching so many things.
Trunks
for, like,
forever?
I would always use my sleeves and be like, what if there's sprayable nerve gas?
So that was what was going on in the movie theaters. This week, Candle in the Wind 1997 by Elton John topped the charts.
Yeah, round two.
Hell yeah. And NBC.
English Rose version.
Hell yeah. NBC aired the Friends episode, the one with Chandler in a box. Katie, you must have seen the one with Chandler in a box before.
Yeah, this was, so when we discussed which Friends episode we were going to, which Friends.
There are 10. But only, I think only five of them are eligible for the podcast. Five or six. There are 10 of them. Season 1 is a legit one. Season 2 is the C plot is Thanksgiving, but A and B are not.
Okay.
And then season 3 is when they just cemented, like, we're going to do this every year.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the football one. This is the box one. And then after that, it gets kind of like, there's the truffle one, the Brad Pitt one, the one where Chandler hates dogs.
Yes.
Yeah, trifle truffle. The truffle pig.
I was like, truffles?
Phoebe being so much truffle pig. And
it's very confused. Yes.
There's one with all the flashbacks.
Yeah, I think, to me, the box one is like the most iconic Thanksgiving one. So when you were like, oh no, that's like the least Thanksgiving-y one.
I guess we all come from our family context. Yeah. I think my family always talked about the one with the English trifle with beef.
Yeah.
And the Brad Pitt one, and then the football one, are the three that we always, as a family, talked about the most.
Yeah, the Brad Pitt one is, like, not funny anymore. Because the whole joke is that, like, he doesn't like Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, now.
And it's like, but now that's just gross.
Yeah, and also.
And it's just like, because the whole time he's just mean to her.
Yeah.
And you're just like, haha, it's funny because they're married.
And now they're
now they're not married. It's not funny anymore.
But it is delightful to watch that and be like, Brad Pitt doesn't know comedy.
Yeah, that
which
is true.
Pretty he's great. Just, it's like, he's a beautiful man that's like a good actor. And it's like, aha, here's your weakness. You don't have good timing.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I think he does have good timing, but not in a live performance sense.
His delivery in that episode, he has like a little bit of over-the-top hamminess at times. Which
and
is,
it's like, he kind of swallows the lines a little bit.
Yeah.
In a cinematic way, like he's used to this stuff being filmed. But like, Ocean's 11 was like the next year or something. It was not that long after. And he's super funny in that. So I think
it doesn't translate.
Because it is, when we think about Friends specifically of like, I mean, most sitcoms from the era that you're looking at are going to be filmed in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And so that's where so much of the performance comes from that.
It's like really showing you the specifics of what it takes to do this job. Because you can easily, well, obviously Brad Pitt's a better actor than like Matthew Perry. But then it's like, okay, well then you bring Brad Pitt into Matthew Perry's turf. And it's now you understand what Matthew Perry is doing and why he's great.
I think Matthew Perry's a really good actor.
Yeah, he is.
Who can we say is a bad actor? No one, they're all good.
They're all good. Were you in a Friends household?
We watched it, I think. We liked Star Trek, I think, more than any sitcom, if that makes sense.
Okay,
there wasn't any, I don't know. My sister really, so recently, in the last, like, couple years, maybe longer than that, but very recently, as far as I'm concerned, my sister got really into Frasier, and I was like, we never watched that growing up.
Yeah.
So, like, we watched Star Trek as a family, we would watch movies maybe more as a family, I definitely watched Friends. I don't know. There wasn't, like, especially at that age, kind of, like, early tweens kind of, like, era.
Yeah, because this, I mean, the crazy thing about this show is I watched this show from when I was in sixth grade to a sophomore in college or junior in college.
Yeah.
Like, that's like such
a
crazy span. Like, all of middle school, all of high school, half of college. Like, that's a really formative chunk. And for a lot of those years, the friends were my only friends.
Mm-hmm.
The deep bond I have with this show.
Alexis and I watched X-Files together.
Oh, yeah.
The two of us would watch it, and then we wouldn't watch it if the other one wasn't there. Because it's
too
so
scary.
It's so scary.
Some of the fucked up episodes.
And they've added it to Netflix finally. I was like, great, I'm going to watch this. I'm 32 years older.
I can do that.
And then I was like, no. Like, there's like,
Isn't the second episode is like Tombs, where he's like gross, like liver-eating person?
I know Tombs. Like, he's great because he's in that later episode and I'm like, this guy. But I think it's a different episode. Maybe it is even that one, but like Scully like takes a shower, like a bath. By herself,
right?
Like,
yeah,
and I was just like, no.
He's in two episodes in season one, I think. I think he's in the like the second one, and then it's at the very end, and he comes back,
and then he does come back later.
Oh, because like the first one is called, it has a different title. Oh, it's like Slither or Bend or
I think it's Slither.
It's some like verb. And then Tombs is at the end of season one.
Yeah.
But.
But I was like, this is too scary.
But you know what isn't scary?
Thanksgiving.
I don't know. This week on Must Have Seen TV, we're talking about the Friends episode, the one with Chandler in a box. It is the 8th episode of season 4 and was written by Michael Borkow and directed by Peter Bonners. Here's how Netflix describes the episode. On Thanksgiving, Joey punishes Chandler for kissing Kathy. Monica gets a surprise when she visits an eye doctor. He's her former boyfriend's son. Katie, how accurate is that description?
I don't know, that's accurate.
That is the show. That's the episode.
That's accurate. Yeah. There's some Netflix description, I forget what it was, but it was for something and it was like just completely spoiled the whole thing.
Yeah, it'll
in one,
yeah.
In one sentence. And I was oh, great. Okay.
I think there was the Home Improvement episode we did. It was like the description was three sentences long.
Yeah.
And the first two, great. And the third one was like, Tim gets back at him by doing this. It's like, well, you don't have to say that. Like, that's literally the last minute of the episode. You don't have to summarize that in the Netflix description.
No spoilers, guys.
So, this is, it isn't rare. I think this is rare for sitcoms before the 90s, but this is a serialized plot line because Joey has been dating Kathy, played by Paget Brewster, for like 4 episodes before this.
Okay.
And Chandler has been like, It was an arc of season 4. It was him developing all these feelings. Like, they were watching the Buster Keaton late night marathon together. And then, like, Kathy cut his hair in the previous episode, which is why they got too close and he kissed her.
Okay.
And also, Joey was being like, he wasn't really feeling her that much.
Yeah.
Like, he was also dating other women. And Chandler was like, oh, well, then you should dump her.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, no, I think I'm going to try to actually make this work. No. So, the previous episode ends with them kissing and Joey finding out. So the cold open summarizes all that, kind of.
Yeah.
Because it's Joey alone.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I know you can't stand to be in the same room as me, so I just thought I'd try and apologize over the phone.
Hello?
Look, I never should have kissed your girlfriend, and I'm...
He'd also apologized on the little... board and the thing.
So the Magnadoodle just says, I'm sorry, over and over and over again. I really like Joey's alone performance in the cold open of acting against just a phone.
Yeah. He also does that eyebrows forehead move where you can look like surprised and dismayed just by like moving his forehead back a little bit. I'm always impressed when people can do that. Like, I can't, that's not... It's like only certain muscles to do that, but it's a good... He relies on it a lot, not too much, I don't think, but it is like...
It's a good... It's a very like, Joey thing. Yeah, yeah, like I really... And he does, like, this is a really good episode for Joey.
Yeah.
Because he has to be angry and funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And also...
It's kind of hard to do.
It's also one of the rare episodes where Joey is a high-status character in a way. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He's the one that is, like, plotting and exerting a plan on Chandler.
Yeah.
Which is ludicrous.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. And also, okay, so does he break up with Kathy at the end of the last episode?
Because
that is not clear.
I don't think they address it. I think it's just kind of understood that in between episodes, like, that ended.
Yeah.
Because in this episode, like, Joey goes looking for Chandler and he finds him at Central Park and they're canoodling in the corner.
Yeah, like, don't fucking go there, man.
Yeah.
If you're really sorry
don't
about,
go
like,
to your...
essentially stealing your best friend's like, person that they're dating.
Yeah.
Don't go to the place you're at 2/3 of all of your days.
Yeah. That's literally on the basement, like, of your apartment building.
Yeah, don't go there.
100 steps away, as established in one episode.
And it's also, like, I think some people might be like, why was Central Park open? It's on Thanksgiving. Hashtag New York.
That's just true. Yeah, that is...
I think some places might close a little bit early on Thanksgiving Day, but otherwise they're open.
Like, yeah.
Stuff is open. Stuff is open on Christmas Day.
100%.
The first year I moved here, I very much planned. I was like, all right, well, I won't go anywhere, but I'll go to the movies, because I know movie theaters are open, because, you know, we both worked at movie theaters, and they're open every day.
Yeah.
And I got down to Union Square that night for the movie I was going to go see, and, like, 2/3 of the stores were open still at, like, 8:30 at night. I was like, what is it? You remember Shoemania?
Yeah.
Shoemania was open, and there were, like, a ton of people just in Shoemania, and I was like, what? Okay, I guess I was wrong about this city.
I mean, I feel like with this one, if you're listening to this episode, you've seen this episode, mm-hmm. I say, so I don't really think we necessarily need to break it down beat by beat plot-wise.
Yeah.
There are 3 A plot, B plot, C plot in this episode mm-hmm. that are pretty iconic, I would say, for Friends.
Yeah, like, that's true.
The A plot is Chandler feels bad about kissing Kathy, and then Joey, like, it escalates to the point where Joey is going to go back to his parents' house and look for a place to live.
Yeah.
And then it's like Chandler basically says,
if we still had that entertainment unit, I would get in there for 6 hours and think about how I let you down.
What? We got a box.
And so then Chandler spends Thanksgiving in a box, hence the title.
Yeah.
The B plot is, at the beginning of the episode, Monica is, like, trying to, like, jab out all the ice in the because mm-hmm. the freezer's, like, frosted over. Yeah. Gets ice on her eye.
Yep.
Goes to the eye doctor and sees her ex-boyfriend Tom Selleck's son, Michael Vartan.
Oh, no. But he's hot.
He is very hot.
And she's like, ooh, he's hot. I wanna fuck him.
And then, I did love the line. Was it Rachel's line of...
Why is it sick?
Because it's Richard's son. It's like inviting a Greek tragedy over for dinner.
That's a really good line. That's a really good line.
Really good line for Rachel.
Yeah. I was like, that's slightly out of character for her.
Yeah.
But also I like that... I'm glad she got it, because is she Greek in the show? I know Jennifer Aniston is Greek. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm honestly not even sure if she's Jewish or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're very vague on her.
Yeah. That's a good point.
But in this episode, they reaffirm that, like, Ross is like, I'm going to be getting Monica a Hanukkah gift.
Present, yeah.
Because that's the C-plot, is Phoebe suggests everyone do Secret Santa because mm-hmm. both Monica and Phoebe are underemployed because they're starting off their catering business, mm-hmm. and so they're like, just do Secret Santa. And then it is uncovered that Rachel always returns everything that everyone gives her, which then makes Ross so angry and dickish.
So possessive.
Oh my god, even to like a year after they've broken up.
Oh, I was like, gross.
And so Rachel has to prove to him, like, no, I do keep the things that matter, which includes a million-year-old fossil from the first time they fucked in the museum.
I mean, that's not a very old fossil.
No. No, it's only a million years.
But it's, yeah. If it was a dinosaur fossil, which I think is implied...
Yeah, because it looked kind of like a either it looked like a tooth.
Like a tooth.
Like
yeah.
a tooth.
But didn't they have sex in like the people? Like the ancient humans?
Well, they had sex twice. They had the first time they first had sex in the planetarium because played the Chris Isaac No I wanna fall in love.
Oh, it was so good, Brett.
While the stars were rolling, and then he rolled over on the juice box and Rachel was like, oh, it's fine. He's like, no. I didn't prematurely ejaculate. That's what they couldn't.
Oh.
That's what they couldn't say. That's what me in 5th grade didn't understand, or 6th grade. But then they woke up the next morning because they have sex in the planetarium, and then it like fades out, and then fades back up on them in one of like the Neanderthal displays
because
all the kids are like looking in on them. Yeah. And that's the end of the episode.
So that's what I remember.
Yeah. So it must not have been. It might not be a tooth. It might be like an ancient like carving tool or something.
It looked like it was supposed to be, like, a dinosaur tooth. That's also just, like, a problem with this show.
Not
like,
what continuity. Is his,
like, what is
he's dinosaur.
Ross's, like,
his job is dinosaurs.
Like, but then there are also times that he's, like, an expert in ancient humans.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, this is, none of that is accurate.
But
are you a teacher? Are you a research, like, what is your deal, man?
I have in my notes, Ross is a shit. I mean, we can start by talking about the C plot of the Secret Santa and that. I said Ross is a shit.
Yeah, he is. I think it's a testament to David Schwimmer as an actor that, like, we sort of didn't think of, like, no. Ross as being such a horrible person because he's, like, pretty charming
yeah.
as him. But, like, when you just kind of divorce that from, like, that charm from him, you're like, oh, you're a shitty, insecure, like,
yeah.
asshole of a person who very rarely, like, genuinely... like, is learns
nice.
From anyone.
Learns from anyone, or is nice to anyone.
Yeah.
And there's a... because I have a problem with latter half of Friends, because the characters all get whittled down to these, like, major
one
archetypes.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ross is... I mean, the show leans into... Ross becomes a psychopath. Like,
yeah.
a maniac.
Yeah.
Like, the Thanksgiving... the post-Thanksgiving episode, like, 2 years after this, is the Moist Maker sandwich thing. Where he, like, takes the turkey sandwich into work the next day, someone else eats it, and then things escalate to where he loses his job because he, like, accosts coworkers because he accuses them of eating his Moist Maker sandwich.
Don't call your sandwich
exactly.
that. Exactly.
Fucking Ross. Okay, but there's thanks. A moment in this episode where, like, they're having Thanksgiving dinner, and Rachel, like, asks someone to, like,
Ross, could you pass me the yams?
Sure. Oh, and Joey's got the mashed potatoes if you want to exchange them.
That's the moment that
Money.
Finally makes Rachel, like, be like, fuck this.
Fuck you, boo.
I am out.
Yeah, he's a dick. He really is.
But I mean, what do you think of Rachel exchanging things? I mean...
I think it's such a shitty thing to get mad about. Like, I think it's one of those things, on the one hand... I don't know. On the one hand, when you have, like, when someone gives you something because they think about you and you're like,
yeah.
I think that you would like this. And then you're like, oh my gosh, thank you. I think most people, or maybe not most people, but I think a lot of people would be like, oh, thanks for this garbage in
yeah.
my house that I feel too guilty to get rid of.
And
but
I still, you still have it. I
and
still
you have it.
Yeah.
You know? My aunt, who's like the nicest, she's the so sweet. She works for, like, one of those companies that, like, puts branding on, like, knickknacks and, like, gimcracks
yeah, yeah.
or whatever. And she sent me like, a big care package thing for St. Patrick's Day. And one of them was, like, this, like, a leprechaun pen that, like, has little boxing arms. Like, two little arm things. And they, like, have little, like, orange boxing gloves. Doesn't make any sense. And it has, like, green eyes that light up when you hit the arms
yeah.
to like do punt. It doesn't make any sense. And I was like, ah, this is so fun. So finally I was like, this is garbage. I have garbage in my house and
yep.
I don't want this garbage in my house. But like, I mean, that's a little bit weird because it should include like a gift receipt for me to return it. Yeah, I don't know.
Cause
on one hand, I guess if she just didn't lie about it, I guess people wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah, well, there's a whole unspoken... I feel like there's a lot of dickishness. I mean, from my point of view of giving presents, is you
yeah.
give the present and then you never ask about it.
Yeah.
Because it is super
yeah.
shitty to be like, hey, I haven't noticed you've worn that sweater I gave
yeah.
you a couple...
Right?
That's
yeah.
a weird... Because that's just
yeah.
projecting a whole bunch of awkwardness on your friend that you gave
yeah.
a thing to. I think you just have to silently be like, yeah, it's fine. I'll try
yeah.
better, or I'll give, like, just... The fact that they all make
a
deal of it.
A very specific personality type that follows up
yeah,
on a gift.
Which Ross.
Yeah.
I can kind of see. Well, he's
yeah.
the... Chandler has... Well, who knows? Phoebe's the one that knows this.
Phoebe knows it.
Which I could see. Phoebe is very perceptive.
Yeah, and she just notices what
and
everyone
also,
does.
Phoebe
like,
wouldn't make a big deal about it,
yeah.
I don't think, in any way.
No, but she's just like... She's also... She is also annoyed by it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Because every
yeah.
year, like, since I moved to New York, my family would, every now and then they would get me things that's just like, this is great, but the limited space of New York means that I cannot have every oversized hardcover Marvel encyclopedia that
aww.
Exists. And it's always like, this is so sweet, but it's
yeah.
also like, I have nowhere to put this.
Yeah.
Like, it's bigger than any shelves in
ooh,
my mini. Like,
yeah.
So they end up, like, I have to... throw them away or give them away
yeah.
or, you know, and it sucks, but
yeah.
you know, they don't ask about it. I don't
yeah.
bring it up and I don't guilt either party.
Yeah. I think my mom does that. She does like, she will follow up on stuff and she gives really horrible.
It is
like
weird.
Very thoughtful, but like, just like, why? This
isn't
is
it
not,
weird
I
that
don't want this.
What does it say about Rachel that she's kept her ex, like, a sentimentality box from her ex-boyfriend that they've been broken up for about a year
now. I think
now.
A lot of people have, like, a box.
Yeah.
For, like, each person. I think that from sitcoms.
From sitcoms have taught me.
I've been taught.
I still have, the longest relationship I had before my husband, he had bought me a nice, like, tie for Valentine's Day, but then I dumped him, like, the week before Valentine's Day.
Oh, no.
And I think he gave it to me anyway, like, he mailed it to me or something. So I still have that, because, and it's probably, it's somewhere. And I have it because, like, it made me feel so sad.
Yeah.
Because he included, like, a note about, like, I wanted you to have this anyway. Aww. I'm sorry about the relationship. And made me feel so sad.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, like, but that's, I mean, in terms of exes, like, that's all I've kept.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, everything else is, like, that's awkward. But it's, I might have finally thrown that away after keeping it for, like, 8 or 9 years. Which I feel like is a nice amount of time.
Yeah, that's plenty of time. That's the amount of time you'd keep, like, a regular tie.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't like this tie.
I mean, I never wore it either. I just always stayed in my closet. I was like, because, I wasn't going to wear, like, the tie that my ex gave me right after we lived. Weird. So.
Yeah.
But also, Rachel still has to be friends with Ross. So it's like he's still.
It's the title of the show, sitcom.
And they have to work through it. And the show actually did make them work through it, which is why I love this show.
Yeah, that's true.
So the B plot, more significant, is the Monica. Oedipus car, like, that's no, is so this weird. Is this Oedipus or no? Oedipus is having sex with a mother.
It's, not, I mean, it's like
it's a Greek tragedy.
It's a reverse Oedipus.
Yeah. What's the other one? Cassandra? No, Antigone. What's that?
Antigone is if it's the one I'm thinking of.
That's a.
I think that's,
isn't that Lady Oedipus.
Clytemnestra. I think so. If it's I'm blanking on this, and Sebastian's gonna be very disappointed in us.
I know.
So, if it's the one I'm thinking of, so there's Agamemnon, who Agamemnon, like, sacrifices one of his daughters to the gods, because he's, like, one of them. I want to say Athena comes to him and says, like, the only way you'll win, that, like, the Greeks will, like, triumph over Troy, is if you sacrifice. And I think that's, so it's Agamemnon, and then I think Antigone. I don't remember who Antigone is.
I've read Antigone. Yeah, I mean, I have to. I feel like it's a vengeful woman.
Yeah. Because then, well, like, Agamemnon's wife, who's, like, the mother of that, of the girl, who I think is Clytemnestra, but maybe I'm making that up, is super mad. And I think they end up killing Agamemnon when he comes back or something like that.
It's high drama stuff.
Yeah.
Which is what we get in
this
plot.
We'll just call it a reverse Oedipus, because that's pretty close.
I love, so she gets the eye, she gets ice in her eye, and Chandler has the line of like,
oh, you know, I can't, it really kills.
Well, maybe you should put some ice on it.
I think he didn't actually mean it as a joke.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the very few, like, smart-ass Chandler responses, that he just genuinely was like, oh, you should put ice on it.
He was like
a really, like, full moment of, like, go fuck yourself, you stupid.
This is an episode that does that is very, very, very Phoebe Light, but she is the one. She has so many quotes in this episode that I just remember and have remembered for 10 years now.
Yeah.
When she's on, like, they're like, you need to go see an eye doctor. She's like, I can't go see an eye doctor. Richard's my eye doctor. And they're like, we'll call him. Like, we need to see someone. And they're like, what's the number? And she's like, speed dial 7, which I think is a funny thing. But then when Phoebe's on the phone.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling on behalf of Monica Geller's eye. And is Richard Burke in today? He's out of town, but does she want to see the on-call doctor?
Yes!
Yes! She's very excited about that.
So good.
I love that.
Phoebe's
then
great.
After she meets Tim, is it Tim? Tim or Tom?
Tim, I think.
Tim. Yeah. After she meets Tim, Monica goes back and is like, I'm going to invite him. And everyone's like, this is crazy. And I love, she's like, Monica turns to Phoebe, like, come on, this is fine, right? And then I love Phoebe's line of,
come on, Phoebe, you understand, don't you?
Yeah, I could see where I'd be your best shot, but no.
I think about that line at least once a week.
Wow.
Like, that line, I could see, because it's such a great self-aware moment of Phoebe of like, I could see where I'd be your best shot,
but no. Also, I think this is gross.
Yeah.
So, no.
That moment also has one of my favorite things about Friends, which I think is a running theme of the Thanksgiving episodes.
Mm-hmm.
the round robin roll call of grievances or embarrassing facts that come out.
Yes, that was very funny.
Where Monica is, what are all of theirs?
So she's like, they're kind of like, this is gross, you can't do this. And she's like, oh.
Fine, judge all you want to, but married a lesbian, left a man at the altar, fell in love with a gay ice dancer, threw a girl's wooden leg in the fire, live in a box.
Yeah, live in a box, live in a box. For Chandler. It was good.
It's really good. Courtney Cox gets to do a lot of really subtle, good physical comedy stuff in this one.
Yeah, definitely.
There's the moment when they are, like, when they're out on the balcony and she kisses Matthew Vaughn, Michael Vartan. Matthew Vaughn is a director.
Yeah, it's a different person. Yeah.
But also, his name was Vaughn on Alias.
Yes, that makes sense. So and his name is Vartan. So
yeah,
it's like
Vartan. Yeah, it's all over the place.
Lots of VA sounds.
Who was he? He is also, he dated Jennifer Garner.
Oh, really?
He was like,
Yes.
He was like
that.
Ladder number two on her like client. Because she was with Scott Foley, then Michael Vartan, then Ben Affleck, I think.
Yeah, she's like super religious.
Yeah, I read that big article about her.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot of that.
She seems, she is super close with Victor Garber, so that means she's probably okay with gay people, so therefore I'm fine.
Okay, that's
cool. Like, that's my train of thought.
Yeah. She seems like one of those like really like sweet Christian people.
A good one.
Where you're just kind of like, okay, cool.
Yay.
But then at some level you're like, oh, okay.
Please don't be
just like,
mean to me.
Okay, cool.
Please don't judge me like
cool.
other people. Thanksgiving's fun. Oh, boy.
Don't be cool. It'll be cool.
So they have, they kiss on the balcony. And then they go in for it again, and she
really,
does...
he goes back in, and she's just like that, like, very subtle pullback. And it's shot cool, too, because, like, it's just over his shoulder on her face, and she's, like, into it, and then, like, her face kind of freezes, and then they finish like that, and he goes back, and she's like, no.
It's a cool, like, her shoulders shrug up into her cheeks, into, like, her neck, and then she's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And it's, like, really, it's really subtle, too. Like, it's just like, ugh. And then it does, and then they have that great reveal of like, it was really a lot like your dad.
Yeah.
And then it like dissolves into like a time lapse later where he's gone finally, and she's just on the couch. They're all watching, I guess, football, and she just does a like a full body shudder.
She like remembers, like, oh no, I kissed a boy and also his dad,
and
it was
like so.
That.
It's such a good like physical moment from her.
Yeah,
I just love it. Funny. Can we talk about what she's wearing?
It's like a velvet tank top underneath of like see-through
sheer maroon red. It's all like a maroony purpley
hashtag the 90s, you guys.
God. And she's like, and also like tight black capris, or like, no,
they're
not capris, but
they're
like
just tight black jeans.
They're that 90s style of pant though, like that late 90s style of pants.
Where's mid-90s?
That's like tight. Like it's a 96, right? So like the tight kind of mid-waist height.
Those are actually like not super 90s. Or I guess they are 90s.
They look very much like a 1990. Like
that came back like in the late 2000s. So
yeah,
like
they're like
that.
Very Sheryl Crow. Like she's wearing like a Sheryl Crow music video outfit. Is
yeah,
what I'm
I could see
of.
That. Yeah, her hair is also like very bad.
Yeah,
and that's in this. I guess probably the whole season. Well, and it's funny because like Rachel's hair is like different, right? It's not the Rachel.
No.
It's now, like, pretty straight and, like, a little bit feathered.
Yeah.
And she has, like, a kind of a pulled back bang, which is cute. But then, like, Courtney Cox's hair is just, like, so bad.
It's, well, it's like, weird, because this is season...
It's so different, but it's still so bad.
This is season four. So, like, season one, she has her, like, kind of, like, big, feathery, like, 90s hair.
Mm-hmm.
Season two is when she goes to get the Demi Moore haircut, but she gets a Dudley Moore haircut from Phoebe. So, season two, she has, like, a kind of shortish pixie cut.
Okay.
Season three, I'm insane that all this is coming back to me right now.
Yep.
Season three is when she has kind of, she has the first, I think it's like a shoulder length, or like bottom of the neck, like straight middle part. Because I'm, season three is when she's with Jon Favreau, and I'm remembering like, that's what she looked like then.
Yeah. It's an asymmetrical bob.
Yeah.
Which means it's longer at the front.
But then this season four hair is like the Dudley Moore hair, but like... More,
yeah,
like,
it's like
just
a,
bigger.
It's like a night. It's a North Carolina mom hair.
Yeah,
minus the blonde bang and like off back.
I want to talk about Paget Brewster's hair.
Yeah, that was also
because that was because like
I mean, it's a terrible color,
right?
But then it's also the shape is very bad.
When we see Kathy in this episode, in general, I'm like, she definitely looks like a cool girl. Like, yeah. Her clothes look cool. She looks cool. She's got a cool vibe. That's why Chandler fell for her. Mm. But then she has this Paige Davis mom hair that looks, doesn't age yeah. well.
No.
At
I
all.
I think it was maybe, like, maybe that was pretty in at the time.
I think, I mean, this was also a good, like, 5 years before Paige Davis happened. Yeah. So, like, this is, like, that hairstyle was very new.
Yeah.
That, like, very boyish, like,
just,
messy.
Like, there's a lot of volume. The color is, like, it's that really fake, like,
auburn,
yeah, like, from, that was, like, big at the time. And it's just, like, ugh. And also, I think, like, she doesn't look great with that tone. Like, I
no.
think her hair,
it looks, it,
her natural hair color, I'm assuming, is darker than that, because that's usually what her hair is.
Yeah.
And that would be better. Just let her have dark hair.
To transition to the A plot,
yes.
I want to talk about what Chandler was wearing because, like Chandler,
it's
had,
like a bowling shirt, right?
He loves
like
bowling.
It's like a rayon bowling shirt.
He's always wearing them bowling shirts. The color combination is like this. I wrote down. It's like a clay / lime.
Yeah,
because it's like this clay muddy like.
It's like a it's
orangish
like an orange
brown,
and then the middle section.
The
is
middle
like
section
yellowy.
Is like a yellowy, like lime green.
It's
crayon.
Very bad.
And
it's
he's wearing dad jeans and white sneakers.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, I like his sneakers. That was like the thing I liked. And then the rest
it's
was
the thing
like,
of
no.
like, because I relate to Chandler, like Chandler's my entry point into this show. Mm-hmm. That when I see him, I'm like, I would not wear that. So therefore that doesn't feel true to this character. Which is a
oh,
dumb.
This is ridiculous.
How dare this character that's not me, not dress like me. Because I did go through a bowling
funny.
Shirt. Of course I went through a bowling shirt phase
yeah,
when I was, or at. At, like, this time, like, I was, like, Chandler Bing and Brad Sherwood from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Like,
oh,
I
my
want...
God, of course he did.
I was like, that's what I want.
Brad Sherwood, oh, my God, fucking nerd.
I had a,
oh
I
God.
Would go to Gadzooks. I had a black and gray bowling shirt. And
what's
then
Gadzooks?
Oh, Gadzooks was, like, Hot Topic before Hot Topic was Hot Topic.
Okay.
Gadzooks,
had...
it was a mall store. I don't know if it, I'm pretty sure, it was, they were in San Diego, too, because I remember going to the Gadzooks in San Diego. Gadzooks was where I would go, and I would get, like, my Caffeine brand shirts, or this one
caffeine
shirt.
Caffeine brand?
It was, the brand was called Caffeine.
I don't remember
And then
this.
The logo was, like this, like, really crazy, like, Caffeine, but in, like, crazy font.
Oh, God, I don't remember that at all.
And then I had a shirt that was basically a FedEx employee shirt. It was gray, and it had, like, the blue,
God.
The navy and orange stripe. I had that. That's
FedEx
where I got all my Hawaiian shirts there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My bowling shirts.
I think
maybe
in the Northeast we just had Spencer Gifts.
Gadzooks
and...
is basically like a Spencer's Gifts and a Hot Topic
yeah.
had a baby.
Was it like more clothes?
It was all clothes. It was
oh,
a clothing store.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay. Because
yeah.
I think Spencer Gifts and like
is not a,
Hot Topic
well,
are like, they have some clothes,
yeah.
but mostly
it's like
weird
married
stuff.
Those aesthetics and it's a clothing store.
Okay, all right.
Gadzooks is the funny sibling of PacSun, who's
okay.
cool.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Because
I would go to PacSun and Gadzooks.
Yeah.
And PacSun was more skater cool.
Yeah, skater clothes.
Gadzooks is more like... skater jokester
mm-hmm.
like
okay.
Gadzooks would have G.I. Joe joke t-shirts which I bought all of
yeah you did I bet you did
PacSun would have the like Hawaiian shirts and shit
yeah.
or the
I had a period where I was like I'm gonna be a not be a skater
but I love that aesthetic.
I was very bad at that I like rollerblading but I was like I'm not getting on that piece of wood with wheels that's not what I'm
no.
gonna do but I did like for a whole year I just like pretty much just shopped at like PacSun and then there's another store and I can't remember the name of it that had like also skater clothes but it was like slightly classier like it was less like it was just like slightly cooler versions of stuff but yeah that was what I did for a year and more kind of like baggy-ish like wide jeans
yeah,
not like
yeah.
JNCO wide not JNCO
nice
wide
in between.
But like also because I had a really hard time finding clothes that fit. This is what happens when your, like, parents don't like shopping, and, like, growing up, all of your clothes come from a big plastic bag of clothes that other people don't want.
Oh, man,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then also, keep in mind, I was the oldest.
That should not have been.
I only wore hand-me-downs until I found out about the mall.
Wow, yeah.
That just means, like, people in the neighborhood who had clothes they didn't want anymore. My parents were like, yeah, we'll take them. I'm just like, what? What a weird, like, what? It's just, it's bizarre on a level that, like, I was like, growing up, I was like, wait a minute, how did I wear,
how this works.
Like, hand-me-downs, I was the first grandkid, it's not like there were other, like, cousins or whatever.
Yeah, that's weird.
I was, How?
Which friend would you like to get hand-me-down clothes from? This episode, Rachel is basically wearing a black ribbed turtleneck and like a gray wool skirt. Like it's
not wool though. It's like definitely like rayon or something. Yeah. It's like it moves around too much to be a wool. It's not classy enough to be a wool skirt.
Right.
It's also, like a darker it's November, gray. Man.
Yeah.
Like put some cute tights under there.
Right.
It's cold in New York.
Phoebe's wearing something blue. Like the other ones aren't really wearing anything distinct.
Yeah. I guess I would probably do Phoebe's clothes just because they would be flowier.
Yeah. They're fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're fun.
I mean, I guess Chandler, but I would have to get those jeans taken. God, those jeans are horrible.
Ugh. I honestly can't even remember the jeans.
They're all light wash, and they're like a little bit baggy, and yeah. It's like, that's, ugh.
I think it was illegal to wear dark wash jeans in the 90s. They wouldn't even sell them to you.
So the A plot is the Chandler in a box plot.
Yeah, Chandler's in a box. It's good. It's very
funny. It's really great.
And they have a box because I guess Chandler bought stuff because
Chandler
guilt
bought a whole bunch. Because, I mean, that's the fun thing about the Chandler-Joey apartment is, like, the waves. Like, shitty original furniture. And then, like, Joey's now on a soap furniture, which all then gets stolen. And then they have the white trash lawn furniture for a while.
Yes, yeah.
And then Chandler kisses Kathy. And then he, like, refurnishes the apartment.
Okay.
And then Joey... Oh, I don't know. They might keep that furniture, actually. Yeah, Joey might pack it up, but they might not get rid of it.
I don't think they do. Because was that the era of the two armchairs?
Because, he bought those two. Yeah, he bought... Okay. I think that's when he got it.
Okay. And then there's, like, the yellow couch in the back, which they get later.
And then the dog stays. Yeah. The dog is from Joey getting the Days of Our Lives money.
Oh, really?
And
then
that's, like, the one thing he can't part with. Or he might part with it, and the channel, like, buys it back. Of like, we'll keep this because thank you for whatever.
Yeah.
Because he feels bad about all the stuff getting stolen. So the Chandler's in this, like, giant box, and...
That we don't know what came in.
No. Like, it could have been the foosball table box,
maybe.
That's
what he's putting, like, legs in it. It's like screwed off legs from like a something or other, but they weren't tall enough to be the foosball table legs. They're just kind of like a generic wooden box.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon box.
Yeah, it's like no furniture comes in a giant wooden box,
no.
Even in the 90s.
No.
Like that no one was wasting.
That's like what you would mail Nirmal into Abu Dhabi is a giant wooden box like that. It's a cartoon.
Yes. Yep. Good reference.
Yeah.
That's such a specific... So weird, dude.
Every time I think of boxes, that's what I think of.
Yeah.
Boxes with air holes.
Yeah.
So, like, Matthew Perry's performance in the box.
Yes.
Which, do we think he was actually in there?
Yeah, I think so.
I meant to look up to see if he... Ugh, I should have done this before.
Because it's definitely, like, it's Matthew Perry relatively healthy, right? We're not in a super
skinny...
This is, like, peak.
This is good. Yeah. Because season two is when he's super, like... drug skinny.
Yeah.
And then I think like six might be when he like balloons
up. Yeah.
But this is a good season for him.
Yeah. He looks healthy. He doesn't look ill.
I'm trying to see if, because I feel like I've always thought that Matthew Perry was hosting SNL this week and that's why.
Oh.
But
I guess
Saturday.
It could be.
But then I'm like, that doesn't work because they would still have to shoot the episode and he would have to like be there and then cut out, or they have to like shoot it on two nights, which like I don't think they would do that either.
He was only in like in the box for like two scenes fully, you know, like for an episode called Chandler in a Box, like he's only in it for a little while.
The second half.
So I don't think so. I think that was like probably one day of shooting.
It's like, wait, what season did I say this was? What
season
date?
Four. I want to say November 20th,
1997. 97? So this is 97, 98 seasons. That's season... I should have done this before. Season 23. Hosts. Sylvester Stallone, Matthew Perry was week two. Matthew Perry hosted on October 4th, 1997.
So that could have been when they filmed it.
So, yeah.
But that's still only the one day. Because they filmed in LA, right?
Yeah, they shot this in L.A., SNL's in New York, so it is weird. Like, I don't know.
I don't think that's enough time.
They would have had to... I mean, it might have been a thing of just give Matthew Perry less to do so that he's, like, he might not have been around for, like, the table read or something.
Yeah,
like, just give him less
been,
to
like,
do.
One... Because to me, it sounds like maybe one day of shooting was those two scenes, right? Because they didn't shoot chronologically or anything, did they?
Well, I mean, they did in front of a lot. I mean, like, normally they would do it live in front of an audience, like a stage play.
Really?
The night of. Like,
oh,
one,
really?
Over one night. Like, you know, they might have done it differently for this one. Or, I mean, I think what is more likely, I think, is that he wasn't going to be around for, like, a lot of rehearsal or, like, blocking.
Yeah, maybe.
So, like, just, he's not going to be around for blocking, so he'll block those the first half of the episode.
Yeah.
He can go off to SNL, come back, and then...
And SNL's a whole week, though.
Yeah.
It's Monday through Saturday.
Maybe it's, like, he had to leave early. All we know is that he
Brett
spends half of this...
Brett is still convinced that that is
well,
why.
It is... Well, there are two things.
I think
we know
it's less likely.
He spends half an episode in a box, and also
yeah.
he hosted SNL
yeah.
around the same time. So, like...
But I don't know that they would have filmed... Wouldn't they have filmed this over the summer? Right?
I mean, this would have been... They shoot and then air fairly soon after. So
oh, really?
If they shot this on October 4th, this would have aired November 20th. I don't know. That's also so early. I feel like a November 20th episode they would have shot late October.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
they, like the turnaround is pretty tight.
Wow.
I mean, currently, the like Will and Grace, the new season, they shoot a good like 3 weeks. They made...
Wow.
They had an episode that made a, like, Karen threw a roll of paper towels and called the person catching it Puerto Rico. Well, because Karen's a racist, so, like, that
yeah,
makes sense.
No,
but
no,
still,
no,
like,
I
when that happened, I, like, paused the episode and asked my coworker, like, when did they shoot this? Because that
yeah.
Puerto Rico thing, like, they literally, like, saw that on the news and then did it that night. Like,
oh, wow.
they turned it around
wow.
fast. So I think that they still probably turned it around fast, but I also don't think that they would have, I don't think there's, like, a 2 month waiting period in
yeah.
between. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? But still,
who
Matthew Perry spends half
knows.
The episode in the box.
Yes, and we're convinced it was because he was hosting SNL.
Which musical guest was Oasis.
Oh,
so
oh,
it's,
oh.
I remember.
So it's a double trouble.
I remember that episode
yeah,
because
you
it's
do.
Like, this is the Be Here Now tour for Oasis. Like,
oh, wow.
they did Acquiesce and Don't Go Away.
Oh, of
and
course.
That version of Acquiesce was on the SNL 25 Years of Music CD that
did
came out.
Did they actually do a good job with the sound in that episode?
For them, I mean, I like that version of Acquiesce. It's pretty
yeah.
good.
Mine was more like a burn on the SNL sound.
It usually
it's
sounds bad.
Horrible.
Their music usually sounds
I
bad.
I don't understand how it can always sound bad.
Yeah.
And the house band doesn't usually sound bad.
No. But they just, like, mix the musical
and
guests.
And it's, like,
usually very weird.
The bass is insane, and then there's no mid, and
yeah.
then somehow there's also no treble. So how is... It's just so weird. It always sounds bad, and then it makes me think, like, and I know that because, like, when I watch the bands I like do it, I'm like, that's not how that sounds at all. Remember when, was it Carmen? Remember her? She was, like, that weird, like, YouTube star.
Oh.
And she had, like, a weird little hair dip.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah.
her, like, boyfriend slash, like, I don't know, but they, like, had them on SNL. I think it was like Lorne Michaels' first like foray into like, all right,
let's
I guess
do
we'll do this whole YouTube thing, and they were so bad. It was, so, and I just think about how terrible both of the songs were like all the time. I think about that all the time. It's just such a terrible performance, and it's like, yeah, some people aren't good at performing live if they haven't performed
yeah,
live.
If they haven't done that ever.
And they're just, like, weird YouTube stars who do, like, tutorials about their dumb bangs. Oh, God, I hate it.
But
well,
what is startling is how mm-hmm. good Matthew Perry is at performing from inside a box.
Yeah.
Because he sells so many great lines.
Yeah. No, it's very funny.
There's a, you can't tell right
now. You can't tell, but I'm trying to break the tension by mooning you guys.
Right.
Very good, very good.
Also, the whole, like, the reasons are threefold.
The meaning of the box is threefold. One... It gives me the time to think about what I did. Two, it proves how much I care about my friendship with Joey. And three, it hurts.
It's good. It's
yeah.
very funny.
Air hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. He does a good job. He's good. What was that show he did on NBC that got canceled after two seasons?
So many. Well, he did one... Mr. Sunshine, where he worked
mm-mm.
at a convention center. He did.
No.
Was it Go On?
Yes, Go
where
On.
Where he was in a self-help. It was like
No, it was a support group for grief.
Right.
After his wife died.
Right.
And it's such a good show.
He does. And then he was on A Couple for a couple years. Like, that's the first
oh,
one. He's,
right,
yeah.
Right,
last,
right.
And that was like 3 or 4 years. So,
I forgot
yeah.
that was a show. And then it ran. There
but,
are lots of shows that I forget are shows and that run.
What, I mean, like, I love how this is quintessential Joey logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all makes total sense in Joey logic.
Yeah, because he was stuck in the entertainment center for 6 hours, so that's the amount of time that Chandler needs to be stuck in something. And is that a different entertainment center? Isn't they still have
That's the entertainment center that Chandler bought to make up for Kathy, I think. Because they...
So wait, I'm confused, though, because why... So... The entertainment center wasn't stolen because Joey was in it.
And they sold it. There was an episode where they were trying to sell it.
And that's too big?
Someone might have come and bought it. Okay. But it's
huge. Big one.
Yeah, that's the big one.
The one that's too big and it covers the doors.
And also from building it where the door gets cut in half and that door stays cut in half for, I think, like the rest of the show.
That's great. This is why it shows. Like, keep those things up.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's more satisfying than that.
And those runners, I love that.
Than, like, something that's really tiny, I rewatched New Girl recently, and, like, the episode at the end, or, like, at the end of season 5, I guess, when Coach moves to New York, and he takes the glass grapes, he's like, what are these? They're glass grapes, they bring the whole room together. They're there in the living room the whole time.
Yeah.
And I never really, noticed the glass grapes until then. And it's just like, I don't know. I know that's not quite like a runner.
But it's like, they've been there
the whole time. And then he just,
The Magnadoodle is a good example of, doesn't exist for a while. Then it, comes in. And then it starts, and then it becomes a thing. Where, every week you look to see, what does the Magnadoodle say this time?
Yeah.
I really love how serious Joey takes it, too. Because he gets really,
There's, a weird noise from outside.
I don't know what it is. Joey has, he gets really, you're not taking it seriously. Gets, Joey angry. And it works really well.
Yeah. Because, Chandler is being Chandler and, making a joke out of it.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you are taking this seriously or we're not going to be friends.
And then Kathy comes by to, say goodbye because she was... I love the looks that both Kathy and Michael Vartan give when they walk in. And
I'd be like, oh, you know what? I gotta go. I can't be here for a reason that's not because a person's in a box.
And the five,
but rather a different reason. Bye. I would immediately leave.
I love that runner joke of the two people. And then Kathy comes and says goodbye. Chandler is sticking to the rules. He's not saying anything. Yep. And then when she turns away to leave, great finger acting.
Just one finger out, poke, poke, poke. And he's just waving goodbye.
And it's great.
With his...
And then Joey lets him out to run after. I wanted to wrap up, but I needed to ask this major question, because we're talking about a Friends Thanksgiving episode.
Okay.
Classic. This is a very good one. I think it hits on some good Thanksgiving things of Thanksgiving episodes are good for people airing interpersonal beef and, dealing with shit, which is what Thanksgiving is subtly about.
Uh-huh.
But the main question I always have with every Friends Thanksgiving is... Why aren't they with their parents?
It's so true. I feel like we either talked about this
regularly
at Friendsgiving.
Yeah.
Because we watched a bunch of the Thanksgiving episodes. But it's
season one, they justify. They all have
reasons why.
Rachel's parents are in Vail.
Yes, Joey
can't go because he did that VD ad and all of his family thinks he has VD.
Yes.
Chandler hates Thanksgiving, so he's obviously
not
going to go.
He always hates Thanksgiving. That's justified the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not clear why.
And then Phoebe's parents, Phoebe doesn't have really a family, so obviously.
Yeah.
So Chandler and Phoebe, they got reasons. But
Ross and Monica, their parents live on Long Island,
So do Chandler's.
Because
Chandler went to a neighboring high school because he heard about the Rachel
rumor.
But
did his parents...
His parents might have moved.
Yeah, because his dad lives in Las Vegas.
Vegas,
and then his mom... Do you know where his mom lives?
I don't know.
I assumed his parents were elsewhere.
Yeah.
In terms of,
So that's why.
Because they're not together, and I assume they weren't still in Long Island.
No.
But it doesn't make any sense why Joey isn't with his family.
Yeah.
And,
His huge Catholic, Italian family.
Italian family. They'd be not happy.
Pat, it's in canon, Joey cares about his family.
Yeah.
You mess with his sisters, he, gets
you
angry.
Can't.
So.
And there's, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Yeah, it doesn't make any
sense.
And
they're never with, what is the reason for this episode? There isn't one. They give none. They're just all together.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's, a thing where it would be nice if it was justified more that they were doing their own Thanksgiving because... like they're a family,
yeah.
And specifically like, or you know, keeping in mind like Chandler and Phoebe's like, this is how
they're
going to do it.
Yeah,
you know?
If like they, our best friends will be alone if we are with
or
you.
Or just like have their families come out for
yeah.
it sometimes.
Which I mean, there are a couple years where Monica and Ross's parents
come out,
and those
yeah.
are good ones.
Yeah,
that happens. I think in two seasons.
Yeah,
there's
definitely
maybe.
At least one.
And then there's one year where Rachel's sister, I think Christine Applegate is in one of them, so
mm-hmm.
Rachel's sister comes over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But also, like, where Rachel's parents, her parents, Marlo
yeah.
Thomas and whatever his name is are never
yeah.
in these.
I mean, I get they're busy actors.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But even, like, saying, like, I'm going out to my parents tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or even, like, a line.
Yeah, just
it's
a line.
So weird.
Like, that's one of the reasons I think New Girl does really good Thanksgiving episodes, is that, like... it doesn't make sense for, because no one is actually from LA.
Right.
Right? They're all from, like, either
from
the Midwest like
New York
or, like, the East Coast.
Portland,
so it's like
Chicago.
It would not make sense for them to go home for Thanksgiving
right.
when they're, almost all of them are going home in December.
And they
do
episodes where they are actually all going home for
yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, which is actually the New York plight.
That's,
for me.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, well, I'm not going to fly home 2 months in a row,
yeah.
so I choose Christmas.
That's everyone's.
yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Let's move on to some episode trivia.
Oh, okay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, this specific episode of Friends
mm-hmm.
was watched by 26.8 million people.
That's a lot of people.
Yep. It was the number 4 show of the week.
Did it air? Was that Thanksgiving?
So November 20th?
It would
have
been
close.
Right?
I mean, like, it would be probably the week before, because I don't think they would air. No, because Thanksgiving is the earliest it can be this year, which is the 23rd.
Oh, okay.
So I think, all yeah, right. It's always reruns or a movie on Thanksgiving night.
On Thanksgiving, yeah. I remember because one year we went up to Maine for Thanksgiving, and I was like, oh, it's Thursday, I get to watch ER. And then ER wasn't on, and I was like, motherfucker! I was so mad.
The top 5 shows of the week were, number 5, Veronica's Closet.
Oh, boy.
Number 4, Friends. 3, ER. Mm-hmm. 2, Seinfeld. Number 1, What the Deaf Man Heard.
What? Is that a show?
It was
like a movie?
What the Deaf Man Heard, watched by 36.9 million people. Was a Hallmark movie starring Matthew Modine and James Earl Jones. The summary is, arriving in a new town, a child pretends to be deaf-mute to protect himself. A ruse which works so well that for 20 years he is a custodian to all the town's secrets.
What?
And that's a TV movie.
That was Hallmark. What?
Yeah, I mean,
30 million people
I totally buy, of course Hallmark would make that.
Yeah.
Of course. What I don't buy is that CBS would air it, and almost 37 million people would watch it, making it the number 1 movie of the week, and it got nominated for a bunch of Golden Globes and Emmys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's super weird.
So
that's weird as hell.
I mean, maybe we all need to reinvestigate What the Deaf Man Heard.
I don't think we do.
Do you remember watching What the Deaf Man Heard?
No, I definitely didn't. We didn't watch CBS.
No, we did not watch CBS either.
There was like, I can't even think of a show on CBS.
I would catch watched. The Nanny every now and then.
Oh, I love The Nanny, but never while it was airing. Yeah, it was only on syndication. That's one of those shows that I don't know why I like it, but I find very, or I used to find just, very, very soothing.
Yeah.
And anytime it was on, I'd watch.
I want to do The Nanny on this show, but it is not, you cannot find it literally anywhere.
Really?
It is nowhere to be found.
Oh, that sucks.
You might be able to buy DVDs, but it is streaming nowhere. It's not even for purchase anywhere.
That sucks. And it
is
re- so
but
good.
It is rerunning on places. So.
All right, Fran. Pressure, give us your show.
On IMDb, 2,708 users gave this particular episode a 9.2.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You go higher, lower on the money?
No, I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good episode of a very good sitcom.
Yeah, I would say 9. Yeah. I would maybe go like a solid 9, 8.99. The box plot is so good. Yeah. Monica, the Phoebe lines, like everyone has a really good moment.
Yeah.
Really good.
No, I think it's a good one.
Who would you say has the must-see performance of the episode?
Oh.
That's where it gets super hard.
I think I'm thinking of two. I think it would be a torn between Monica and Chandler, to be honest. Yeah.
Who do you choose?
Oh, I have to choose.
Go choose one. I have an Excel spreadsheet, and I only have room for one.
Oh my god, you fucking nerd. Monica.
Good. Good physical comedy.
Joey. You're going to say Joey?
I'll say Joey.
Yeah.
Which I like, because episode one we did Friends with Matt Little, and he chose Ross and I chose Rachel. So now we have Monica and Joey. Matt LeBlanc has the hard task of, I've got to play Joey, who is a simple person, but I have to filter all these kind of complex emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
He has to be, like, bargaining, angry, also be funny.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a
it's
big, dumb arc, and it's nice.
Yeah, it's several things. I think it's actually, like, a benefit to have Joey be that, having those feelings, because he's just, like, to him it's a betrayal.
Yeah.
And that's, like, loyalty is, like, super important to him.
Yeah.
So I think he's like, I've been betrayed. You know?
There's a really good moment that I didn't talk about already. When Vaffanopoli, which means go to Naples.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Joey says that. And then later on, Rachel says it too. Is it Ross? She says it to someone. Vaffanopoli.
Yeah, I think so.
And then she's sitting next to Joey, and Joey has this really good, like...
She's like, that was good.
Good, like, he, like, nudges her and is like, good work.
She's like, checks in, she's like, did I do it right? Yeah, you did it right. Good job.
Like, that's the kind of moment that I love about Friends. It's like, I don't know if that was in the script.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that feels the realness of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's one, like, when Chandler walks into Monica and Rachel's apartment for the first time, in his walk, talking about this fight with Joey, he, like, grabs Ross by the shoulders, like, does a quick massage and keeps going.
Yeah.
It's like... Those things are not written.
Yeah, that's just nice.
Those things are the actors, like, living in the moment, like...
It's like, to reference New Girl again.
Yeah.
But one of the things that's... One of my favorite things about that show is just the times that, like, the cast is entertained by some weird thing that someone's... There's one that, like, Nick is just being super weird and saying something, and Schmidt is just laughing at him.
Yeah.
But it's like Max Greenfield is just, like, laughing at Jake Johnson doing something weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like... It's just very sweet.
So
real. It's just like, what is this? What are you doing? No. You're like, good. Whatever it is, do it.
And Friends has those moments.
You laugh at your friends when they're being silly.
Ugh.
You know, that's a real thing that humans do.
And lastly, must other people see this episode?
Mm-hmm. Should they?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good one.
Especially because Thanksgiving is, like, coming up.
Yeah, it's soon. I still feel bad that we made Pat Bear watch all of the New Girl Thanksgiving episodes, and he still didn't like the show. He's like, I don't get it. I don't like the show. And we're like, we showed him, like, I think the Thanksgiving episodes are some of the better, best episodes. And
I'm going to be working on an article that is basically New Girl picks up the torch from Friends in terms of Thanksgiving episodes.
I think it does.
I totally believe
that. And also
that.
Just, like, as a show.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, I love it so much.
So good. And, yeah, definitely this is a must-see episode. I mean, I say most of the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends are worth it. There are some, I do not like the one where Chandler hates dogs, because again, Chandler's my entry point character.
And you don't hate dogs.
I love dogs.
So that's insane.
And also, like, it's a later season episode where there's just, like, a lot of needless bickering between all of them, and also, it just frustrates me.
I can't think of that one at all,
It's a forgettable, and I also don't like the last one, because again, that's, like, all of, it's, Thanksgiving doesn't happen in it, like,
oh, yeah. So
they all, like, are bailing on Thanksgiving to go do, like, stupid shit, and then Monica and Chandler get mad. Mm-hmm. I don't like that one either. But, yeah. like, the Brad Pitt one is good.
Yeah.
The one with the trifle is good, because that's the one where Ross got high is so good, because that's the one where they all have secrets.
Oh, yeah. Is it the, like, flashback one?
No, this is, like, that's the one, like, they all have secrets, like, Monica and Ross's parents hate Chandler because they thought that Chandler got Ross into drugs. And they have that great moment of, like, oh, you've been with them all before the drugs. And I love that, like, that's such a parent thing of, yeah. like, they found out that Ross smoked pot, like, a couple times in college, and his parents all of a sudden, like, the drug years.
Drugs.
Like, I love it. So, yeah, there's so many good ones. TBS will probably be running them all day long
that's
to
true.
Watch.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, thank you so much for closing out the holiday gauntlet of Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening.
Where can people talk to you about Friends online and Thanksgiving?
At Twitter, at khealywoo. No, there's no .com, just
khealywoo. khealywoo.com all spelled out.
And then you can use up to 280 characters after my name.
Yeah, to yell.
Probably don't.
Because that's
like,
a lot.
Like, try to just do 140. TLDR. Just, yeah. like, watch to where
Keep
the
it.
Circle, and just let to the get to the circle halfway. And then just, like, every once in a while you can do... like a full 280, I feel yeah. like.
But just, like, keep it brev.
But
keep it brev.
Keep it brev. Keep it real brev.
Yes.
That's short for brevity.
So, yeah, next week we will not be talking about Thanksgiving. So I just want to tell all the listeners, happy Thanksgiving
happy
if you
Thanksgiving.
Celebrate it.
Yep.
And watch Planet of the Apes. I don't know. I watched it on Thanksgiving once. So that in my head is a Thanksgiving movie.
It's not.
It's
yeah, it isn't.
Not.
It isn't at all. Thanks, everybody.
Yay.
Have a good night. Bye.
And that does it for this week's episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Katie Healy-Wurzburg, for coming back on the show and talking about Friends with me this week and completing our 3-week-long Thanksgiving holiday gauntlet. Next week on the show, we are taking a 1-week break from all things holiday to talk about, drumroll please, The Days and Nights of Molly Dodd. We'll be talking about the episode Here Are a Few Variations on a Sexual Theme. That is Season 2, Episode 2, and you can find The Days and Nights of Molly Dodd nowhere. And we actually talk about that a whole lot in the episode, how it is impossible to find. For those of you who don't know what it is a late 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, NBC sitcom that jumped to Lifetime in the early 90s, which is crazy. It was also a dramedy. It did not have a laugh track, so we're actually going to be getting into a lot of crazy groundbreaking stuff with this talk about a show that no one remembers. And I think it is a super fun conversation, and it'll be a nice little, like, you know, palate cleanser before we dive into the main event of the holiday gauntlet, Christmas. So yeah, until then, you can send your questions about sitcoms to musthaveseentv@gmail.com. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr at musthaveseentv. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review the show in iTunes. You can also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Brett White. You can read the words that I write at thecider.com. You can check out my sitcom t-shirts and stickers at tpublic.com/user/Brett White. The theme song this week was Village Green by The Kinks, a very fall song. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see y'all next week on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.